It's a pretty cool sound, unless it's coming after you, because it means dads against predators. There's two guys from my hometown, Fremont, Ohio, Jay Carnicombe and Josh Mundy. Jay is an Army veteran. He's on the podcast with me. Really cool. We talk about some of the stuff that happened doing the whole DAP thing, also the Army. He got shot, not in the Army, in DAP. It's crazy what these guys did. You know, those two guys really, you know, bust their ass out there. And being a father, it's cool knowing that some people are out there. Some people might not think it's a good thing. Other people might say it's a good thing. You be the judge. Personally, I think it's pretty cool. And these guys, Chris Hansen style, go after some bad people. They use a little bit more, you know, language that you can't use on NBC or ABC or Dateline or I don't know, whatever channel it's on. But anyways, you'll be the judge. You check out the show. I think it's really cool. All right. And also, tell your friends. Check out Civilianization. And also, if you haven't talked to your veteran service officer yet, please do. Easily, if you need benefits, family, friends, anybody needs benefits, Google whatever county they're in, veteran service officer, and then look it up. Set up an appointment. If you're getting ready to separate from the military, or you've separated for 10 years, doesn't matter. You need to reach out and talk to those people. All right, now let's check out this podcast.
Audio
checking.
And we're running.
All right.
Good to go?
We live.
Oh, since we're live and in microphones, anything you don't want to talk about? Just kidding. All right.
Nope.
All right, so here we go. The only thing scripted is your name. That's it from here on out. Friends, fans, followers, leaders, and troop leaders, I am here with...
Jay Carnicombe.
He's with Dads Against Predators. Yes, and sir. Just so that you know, for the audio, if you get some weird, wonky stuff in the background... I wanted to go by Veterans Park in my hometown, Fremont, Ohio, because this is really cool what they did here, and they put a lot of cool stuff up. I'll walk around with the camera later and film that stuff, but speaking of veterans and stuff like that, you're an Army veteran and also Dads Against Predators,
yes, sir.
We're not talking about like the ones that Arnold Schwarzenegger was going after, not those kind of predators. Hunt down like...
Child predators.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers. Weird motherfuckers.
And we're uncensored, by the way. So, we'll get into the Army stuff in a minute, but first I'm like really curious, like, how did you guys go about starting off with getting into the, to DAP and starting all that?
Man, well, honestly, me and Josh, we've been friends since.
You say Josh, Josh Mundy.
Yep. Joshua Mundy. Yep. The guy, my other partner in DAP. We've been friends since middle school, and as soon as I got out of the Army, we would hang out, we would play video games and shit. We probably did that for like a year or two,
right?
And we would go from this, like, this place of like hanging out, you know, just being kids, and then being like, damn, what are we doing? We're just sitting here playing video games every
day. I totally understand. Yeah.
And so we're like, all right, man, instead of playing 2K, like let's try to, like,
2K, I don't understand.
2K is basketball.
I know it's basketball.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how to play.
And so instead of playing video games, like, let's start getting into something. And we didn't know what we wanted to do, but we're just like, we would always have this talk, like, let's do something that is bigger than just sitting around playing video games.
Yeah.
Like, because I've heard you say you worked at factories before. Like,
oh, yeah.
We worked in factory lives, you know, and just not really, nothing, other than being dads, we didn't have nothing that we wake up every day and be kind of happy for. So we started out by watching other groups. There's a group called Pop Squad that we'd watch, and we watched them like probably for like one or two full days, kind of hanging out just a couple hours each day. And then we're like, man, we seen that they were traveling all over.
Right.
They weren't just staying at one spot, but they were in one spot, and they were getting 20 to 30 catches in one spot. So we're like, man, if this is so, you know, it's so big, if there's so many of these child predators, let's see if we can get any from Fremont, Ohio, man. Let's see if we can do it, you know, because we got kids, and, you know, obviously we don't want nobody messing with anybody. You know, we got friends with kids, you know, we don't want nobody messing with kids in our city. So let's go see if we can do it. And Josh, as soon as we tried, boom, just like that, they started rolling in.
It's really sad, like, how some people's brains are just wired weird, and some people are just sick fucks.
And when we first started, you know, that first we're like, will we be able to get anybody?
Yeah, right.
And then we first got one person, and we're like, all right, we've seen what type of guy he was, you know, regular creeper, just weird type of dude. And then we started seeing that it's not just the weirdos, it's also regular dudes. It's dudes with jobs. It's dudes with families that, you know, so there's just all certain levels of predators, and they got, you know, they want to do different shit, and they'll attack or not.
Do you end up with people that just think that they're just above everything and that's why they're getting away with it, or?
Not necessarily, not too many where they're like, this is what I'm here to do and like what? Most of the time they're like, they're lying. They're saying, you know, they're saying that that's not what they're here to do. And then if they do admit to it, they'll say, this was my first time. So not too, I mean, we've had like one out of like 200 that's been like, yeah, this is what I'm here to do. What about it?
It's like when you see somebody on deployment outside the whorehouse. Oh, this is my first time.
Right.
Yeah. Sure. Weirdo. But yeah, no, it's so, where was like the first place that, like, you caught him? Like here in Fremont or?
At the Fremont Walmart.
The Fremont Walmart? Was that the TVs, dude?
No.
Because that's been a running joke forever for those that don't know. Talk about that one real quick before we get.
Just here for the TVs, bro.
Dude.
Bro, that guy, I think he was like the 13th catch.
Yeah.
He was like a lot of guys, they will just not admit to it. No matter what you put in their face, like, look, this is you. Why are you here exactly where I told you to meet? And he's like, well, I'm just looking at the TVs, bro. It's like, yeah, but you said you were going to meet this little girl in the TV section. He's like, I'm just here for the TVs, bro.
I'm just here for the TVs. Yeah, so, like, if you watch this video, go to Dads Against Predators. It's on YouTube, right? And then you see this video, and they're walking through, and they get, like, the back ass section where the TVs are. And you're like, hey, what's up, JoJo, blah, 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 whatever your name is. Hey, man, heard you're here to meet a X amount of year young lady or whatever.
Yep.
I'm just here for the TVs. And that's just been like a running joke. I'm just here for the TVs.
I'm here for the TVs, bro.
I'm going to fix my phone. Keep talking, man.
Yeah, you can see that they actually started taking all our catches down on the Dap Int channel. So we have made a new channel called Cut the Cameras on YouTube, where we're uploading all of our catches. We're in the middle of almost getting to all of them right now. I think we're past 100. So, I mean, but he wasn't the first catch, but he was one of the 30 catches that we had gotten in Fremont before the police had made a press conference about us and told us to stop. The first catch, though, was Raphael. I think he actually got deported after we caught
him.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah, after we caught him, exposed him, everything, they had gotten in contact with him and deported him, I'm pretty sure. So
it's crazy, man.
These guys are they're crazy.
Like, so, like, how many were you, like, getting in a week?
Man, so most of the time, me and Josh would go for a weekend.
Yeah.
We go for a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and just about, on average, six.
Okay.
We've had weekends
damn near
where...
Damn one a day, basically.
Damn near two, like, one to two a day. We've had times where we've gotten 12. I think the most we ever gotten was 13, but a lot of times we would get 10. So, I mean, me and Josh each getting five.
Yeah.
Five predators. So, I mean, and honestly, the more you stay, I mean, obviously, we would go, like, because we did it in Fremont for so long, and then the police made that press conference about us that they didn't want us to catch.
Okay, so if you can talk about it, I don't want to get you in any trouble, and I apologize for people listening to the audio if it's got, like, too windy in the background, but this is a fun conversation for me. Hope it is for you guys, too. But what transpired there? Did they just look you guys up and say, hey, you can't do this anymore, or
so the first catch we got, the very first one, they had brought us into the police station later that day. They're like, bring us what you got, because their phones were going off the hook. Once we posted the video, I guess their phones were going off the
hook.
Okay,
yeah.
And so they kind of brought us in. The first day they're just kind of like, we got to tell you to stop. You know, it's not illegal what you're doing, so we can't, like, make you stop. You know what I'm saying? But we can't take what you got because you're not a police officer.
Okay.
So it's this weird little gray area.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so we're like, okay. We go out the next day and catch two guys.
Yeah.
And they're like, they bring us in again. And they're like, kind of just the same stuff. Like, give us what you got. You know, we're going to take your phones. We're going to take everything. And nothing's really going to happen to this, but okay, you know, stop what you're doing, please. But also, we like what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because they're dads and they're human beings too.
Yeah.
And honestly, they
got. It's not like you're like fucking Frank Castle vigilante shit right. out there shooting them. Yeah. You know?
Like we're trying to just record their reasoning on why they're right. there to meet a little girl. And so the police officer would, a lot of times they would, you know, they respect it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Although they couldn't do nothing, they respect it. And I think it came up from up higher after we caught 20, 30 guys that they were just like, no, we got to put a stop to this. We got to make a public statement. So that's how that.
So then, like, they told you to cease and desist in the city or?
They told us to stop. And then I think like a month later, they posted something that was like, we're cool with it. I don't know. I could. They told us to stop, okay. basically. And, yeah, that, and yeah, we took that and we were like, all right, let's just go to Sandusky. Let's go to Toledo. Let's go to Cleveland. And we realized how easy it was to catch anywhere yeah. in the world, Josh.
And I just kind of like, I don't want to call it trolling, but that's kind of like, you're just, I mean, if you're fishing, you're trolling. You're throwing a fucking yeah. line out there and you're just going with the boat.
Exactly.
Like, and is that kind of like what you're doing here? Is like basically with the internet and stuff like that? Or?
Basically going out. Yeah. Basically, like you said, fishing. We're going out.
Fuck yeah.
Going
man.
To a hotel, plopping our fucking our bait out into the water, our you know going on to the which is going on to these dating sites and just not saying anything, just putting the picture up.
Yeah.
And then as you'll get, I mean, girls got it so easy, bro. I wish guys could get in the messages yeah. that girls just get. Girl doesn't before they know the age. Girls just get 100 messages. Just what's up? How you doing? How you doing? And then just I'm 13. I'm 13. I'm 13. I'm 13. And then you'll get guys that try to block you,
yeah.
which is good. Good shot. Good for them. And then guys that are like, yo, where you at? What's up?
Yeah, I think like just getting as close to like not grooming as possible by saying, look, you might not want to do this blocked. You know that?
Yeah.
That's, yeah. And then you got the, hey, what's happening?
Oh, where's your mom?
What's up, Sally?
Well, why are you even on here? You know, you must need some help. Let me, you know, I don't want to do nothing. I'm not going to do nothing sexual with you, but I just want to hang out with you. What are you really trying to do, sir?
No doubt, man.
Tell us.
Yeah. Have a seat right over there. You do some Chris Hansen shit.
Yeah.
You guys are pretty vocal. I love it. This guy is here to meet a 13-year-old little boy.
Yeah, everybody loves Josh's, excuse me, everybody.
What? Like, these guys were in, like, I don't know, a Walmart or a Save-A-Lot or something like that,
yep.
chasing down pedophiles throughout the fucking aisle. Like, he's here to meet a 12-year-old little boy.
That's my favorite part,
like,
chasing him.
Holy shit. Like, yo, yeah, good thing you were in Army, you know, so.
Get a little PT in.
Yeah, get the double time. You know what I'm right. saying? You know, next time, just make sure you wear a yellow belt. So that, you, right. that way you don't get hurt, you know?
True.
So you've gotten hurt doing this stuff too, right?
Yeah, man. I've gotten shot. Motherfucker shot me doing this shit. I fucking fucked my hand up, punching the shit out of motherfuckers.
Okay.
So, I mean, I've gotten a lot.
So, like,
got a lot of little damage.
I know you probably can't talk too much about it because it just recently happened. So, I'm sure it was like an ongoing investigation or something.
Yeah.
It's usually what happens with things like that. But,
right.
What can you say about the shooting thing? Like,
well, obviously, it's pretty obvious what we're, you know, it's ongoing. So, we were there to meet someone.
Of course.
And the video didn't go, how should I say this? It was very quick. It was a very quick video. There was no talking involved. It was just, hey, how you doing?
Bam.
Pull out the gun.
Gotcha.
You know, here to kill you. So, me and Josh fought for our lives that day. We realized not every catch goes the same. Every catch can go different. You don't know
really
what these guys
at.
Are thinking. Right here, I'll show you on my leg.
Oh,
so we fought. There's still a little bit of a bullet in there. I don't know what type of gun it was, but somebody did not want their video to go out there.
Apparently not.
And
yeah.
they were willing to do whatever it took, and me and Josh were willing to do whatever it took to get out of there alive. You know what I'm saying? So
it'd be cool if you could like pop the rest of the bullet like a zit later. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, you'd be on Dr. Pimple Popper and be like, hey, this is Josh Carnicum from DAP here on Dr. Pimple Popper. And they get like this metal like thing. Let's just say the washer.
Swear.
Put it right over top of it. And then some people are going, ew, gross. And I know the other people listening to this right now are like, oh, yeah,
yes.
I fucking love that shit.
Let me see it.
It's so weird.
For sure.
I still watch it.
I do too.
That's like one of those weird things. You're just like, I gotta watch this.
Like,
thing,
get so. That shit out of here. Like, actually, let me see what the fuck.
Yeah, doing. What is going? Oh, this, I can't watch this again. Oh, I gotta go watch another one.
Right.
So like, yeah, that's kind of like the DAP videos too. Like, you know, I'm like, oh my god, this is horrible. These people are like this. Let's go watch another one.
Exactly.
You know, like, oh,
they're so interesting.
What's the trip to? It's like, you know, like I got a kiddo myself, you know, it's you know, so when you see that and you see people out there making an effort, I mean, at first you're like, oh man, these guys are, I don't know, and then after watching a couple seconds, you're like, I fucking get this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like kind of like one of those things where you kind of wish you were doing as well.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, dude, can I do like a DAP ride along? You know, like,
right.
You know, the police department has ride alongs. Like, I want to do a DAP ride along. And celebrity Josh O'Brien is here from, you know, whatever radio
for
station
sure.
I work at the time in the future. That'd be funny.
Hell so, yeah,
but yeah,
man.
Just, you know, when you being a parent, that's where it's like, oh shit, this is crazy. You know,
is your daughter Paley is
yeah.
her name?
Paley Sloan.
Paley Sloan.
So
she's helped us out a tremendous amount. Shout out to Paley.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. How? What'd she do?
She little decoy work.
Oh, sweet.
So I mean, a lot of predators have seen her face. Sorry to All say. Right. But she's, I mean, just like when we're working with a guy, let's say, you know, they're a little bit more careful.
Yeah.
They want a picture of a girl with three fingers or a girl, you know, touching her ear or
right,
something.
Right, right, right.
And so you need that right away or else they're going to get more weary and weary. Why are you taking so long? Boom, they're off.
And she just turned 20, but she's got like a baby face. She could you know, pass for 14.
Yeah, she definitely
you know,
does.
She puts her hair back.
She's probably been a part of helping us, you know, expose like at least 50 to 60, 70, 80 predators. I mean, just by helping out. So
well, that's cool.
Just awesome work.
So
I didn't know if she was your daughter. I seen you post a picture of her.
Long story short, long story kind of long. People have listened to the podcast know the story, but I'll let you know. It's like I was dating her mom when Paley was like one, and
okay.
then we got married, and then so and her father got murdered when she was like two, dude.
Wow.
So I was kind of like the you know and you know. I don't really know the guy, but I just know Paley's awesome, and I would never like detract from who her real father is.
Yeah.
So I say kiddo, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A lot of times, and it's just like, you know, and if it was, you know, anybody that loses their father or something like that, I totally respect that.
Yeah.
But so I just tried to be the best male role model for her as I could.
Damn.
And so like, you know, she grew up Navy brat basically in a sense, you know.
Yeah.
We lived in California a lot in Virginia and, you know, here. And then like when she was a teenager, her mom and I split up and, you know, but you know, her mom's cool. Like the good thing is like, dude, she didn't go after my retirement. God bless her. You know what I'm saying?
She's
so for that, she's a gem as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
No, but, and the thing is, too, is, like, it wasn't a bad, like, split up. Matter of fact, I was like, here, you do the paperwork, please. You know, I'd still trust her even
cool.
to do all the paperwork. And we just...
That's great, man.
You know, it was a good, clean split.
That's
and I was
awesome.
Just like, hey, is it cool if I still, like, you know, take Paley every once in a while and stuff like that? And then she was just like, oh, I'm so glad you said that. And it's just like...
Because,
realistically, like, I look at her as my own.
Right.
You know, granted, like, you know... Les Sloan's her biological father, and you know he passed away under a very bad circumstance. You know, rest in peace, dude. You know, and but I just wanted to do her right by her. You know,
no, man, you're so awesome for that, man. I remember like hanging out with girls like in high school that you know they kind of explained the same situation.
Yeah,
and I just like damn, shout out to that guy. Like you're a real great guy for doing that, bro. Like you don't have to. Obviously people with you know their own kids, they don't even you know do the right thing by them. So I mean,
when I was a kid, like my stepdad was an addict, you know, and he was like down to shit. My dad was an alcoholic. They had their own issues, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So my main and they all got better, you know what I mean? They moved on. I mean, my dad's like mentally ill certifiably. And my stepdad, I should say now, he's clean, sober, living a good life in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Good stuff.
Yep.
And he ended up being a good, positive male role model for me. But realistically, like, my positive role models is, like, Optimus Prime. You know what I mean?
Right, like, you're taking from
G.I. Joe using the optimistic messages at the end of the cartoon.
Hell,
and that's what raised me. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's why I do the good stuff. I took that shit important, you know? Like,
exactly.
You know the Thundercats cartoons where the bad guys were ugly looking and the good guys... I mean, no, I take that backwards. They went to a planet where the bad guys were... Yeah, the bad guys were the good looking people.
Yeah.
And the evil people are... You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Anyways, the roles were reversed.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's a good life lesson.
Yeah.
You know, so, but yeah, so Paley's an awesome kid, man. I'm glad she's helping you guys out. And
oh, yeah, she's awesome, man.
Yeah, dude.
For sure.
She's at that age now, too, because every time I'd come home, I'd be like, yeah, let's go hang out, you know. But, you know, when you're at 20-something years old, it's like 19, 18, and at late teens, you know, you can't take it personally. She's just got a boyfriend and...
Right.
She's got her own stuff going on, and it's like, you know,
exactly.
Hey, I'll see you when I can, and I'm honored to do that. And if I can't, I understand totally, you know, so.
Talk to you whenever I can.
Yeah, and it's, you know, Facebook message every once in a while and stuff.
Yeah.
She hates the phone. She'll be like, hey, how you doing? When she was four, she'd be like, talking to grandma or nanny or whomever.
Yeah.
Yeah, how you doing? And then just fucking hang up on her, like in the middle of a conversation. And I'm like, that's rude.
Right.
And she's like, meh.
Yeah.
Smurfs are on, or whatever it was,
right.
Or.
No,
old Toodles is on. Anyways, yeah. Shout out to Pei-Pei.
Paley. Sure. Shout out to Pei-Pei, man.
That's cool, man. I'm glad she was doing that. I knew she was helping you out. She said something, but I didn't know that in depth with it. You know what I mean? She just kind of grazed over it.
Nah,
that's cool.
Man, like, literally just helping out, catching predators. Like, you know what I mean? We can't do it by ourselves. Obviously, we're just two dudes.
Yeah.
We can only go so far, you know, with taking pictures from the internet and using them. So. Really,
yeah, and that's the thing too, is like a lot of the pictures, if you're just taking off the internet, you can actually reverse image search, you know, and so they'll just see that and they'll be like, oh, okay, cool. Like, what are you going to have, a stock phone with like a bunch of girls? Like,
right, right.
And then we're like, all right, let's Photoshop today's newspaper on top of this.
Yeah.
All right, sorry, ladies and gentlemen, if the wind is picking up. But the good thing is it doesn't last long. It goes and for a minute and then it goes away.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that's how it was all set up. How many, times do you got to use, like, I don't know what you would call it, a decoy.
Yeah.
How often do you use a decoy? Like, every single one?
Pretty much. Well, it depends on what app we're using. Because we can use ourselves, and there's an app that you can make yourself look like. You can make yourself look like a little boy. And so,
I'm a real boy.
Yeah, right. when we're like on the gay apps, we just use ourselves, and a lot of times that's like 50%. So
right,
about 50% of the time we'll have to use a decoy.
Yeah, man. I just think that shit is worse than murder, dude. Like, because like you're really endangering somebody, like their entire life, man. Like that. I've had some shit happen to me when I was a kid, man. So it's like.
Yeah.
That stuff will stay with you forever, and it really haunts, like, your relationships, whether, you know, for forever, because it's just, you know, embedded.
Yeah.
So these fuckers that, you know, I mean, I'll call it as they are. I mean, these motherfuckers, dude, they, you know, they're...
Real pieces of shit.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know.
And they don't give a fuck. They're just trying to do... They're just on their little own weird shit. They don't care what they're doing to these kids.
I mean... I don't mean to sound insensitive, but this is the truth. It's like us in our late teens, early 20s. It's like just when you're fucking around and you don't give a shit. You just wanted to come.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's it. And that's relationships over with, and you just move on. And that's just like, that's basically like dating in your 20s to or 45. But anyways, it's like, but you know what I'm saying? And it's just, it's sad because basically you're making these children disposable.
Yeah.
And then after that, you just move on about your day. You forgot about it by lunch. But that kid, man, that's going to stay with them for forever.
Forever,
you know?
Bro.
And that's the part that's messed up.
Like you said, like, I mean, obviously I've been through it too. I had a little Jay story where I exposed my childhood predator.
And then you did that on air too, right?
Yeah, I posted that. Yep, and he killed himself the next day. Because like you know, I mean, these motherfuckers, if they did it to one person, they probably did it to a couple other motherfuckers. And... And what was I saying? I forgot.
Well, no. All right. So you got the guy who like.
Oh yeah. Like he did it to. I mean, as soon as when I posted that video.
Yeah.
6-7 other people my age that I grew up with came out and had told me he did the same type of things. So they're doing, you know, they're doing to other people. And when you call them out, when you break that, it's they know they're about to get so much backlash. They know they, the rug, you know, I mean, you're pulling it from underneath the rug.
Right.
And so these guys, it's so important to call them out because of how many other times, like if you don't call them out, they just get to keep doing it, and
exactly.
They get to keep doing it, and they more people get hurt, and it's when a kid goes through that, it's not the easiest just to be like, all right, I'm about to tell my mom,
right.
You know what I'm saying, like, or I'm about to tell my friends, like, you feel weird, you feel like, oh, they're about to, and then a lot of times when, you know, some people do tell their parents or their guardians or whatever, they don't believe them.
Right.
And so you,
right.
That's
especially
just like
somebody that they know, and a lot of times
yeah.
It's somebody that they know, because
yeah,
they have
is.
To be in there with the trust, and it's just like,
exactly.
Oh, they're just making
and
it
so,
up.
Right. And then they're like, all right, either like, all right, maybe they're lying, or they're looking at it like, I fucked up. You know, they ain't
right.
doing the best job as a parent. They're like, oh, I fucked up. Like, this can't be real. I can't let this. And it's like they're, you know, people are just not answering that bell the right way, and it's really causing a lot of damage amongst from children to growing up. You know what I mean? I'm still dealing with some of this shit. You know
yeah.
what I mean? So it's real important to get that out.
It never goes away, and then also talking about it kind of normalizes it. So I was really flattered. One of my former troops asked me to do on the 29th. I'm going to talk to a group of Navy CBs on there. You know, remember how you do the training days, you know, and like they kind of suck
yeah.
when you do training days.
Oh yeah.
So they wanted to do something outside the box, out of the normal, and they asked me to teach suicide prevention and awareness class, which when I was on active duty, it was one of my classes. I used to teach a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
And then I'd had my own spin on it, and then she asked me if I would come. You know, I'm retired 6 years now.
Yeah.
And she asked me if I'd come and teach, and sorry, here comes the wind. We'll take a couple seconds.
Here she blows.
Yeah. All right. And I think we're back. Maybe not. We'll definitely edit this part. Actually, I'll probably just keep it in for the effect. But no, it was really cool. She asked me if I would teach the class for a bunch of CBs, and I'm like, hell yeah. And the thing is like when you're talking about anything traumatic, whether it be, you know, molestation
yeah.
when you're young, which it's just when you say it or you hear it, it's cringy.
Yeah.
And then, but the thing is like when it comes to that and also suicide and suicides, it's also, and when you say I had those feelings or that's happened to
yeah.
me or I've been there, you're kind of normalizing it. And you're like, you're making it a little bit easier for
the next person
to just keep on talking and,
yeah.
you know, and doing stand-up comedy. I'll talk about anything. I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I have no things I block. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Fuck it.
You know, exactly. It's like, I forget that not everybody is unfiltered like that. So I have
yeah.
no problem talking about it. So, well, I guess what the moral of my story is like, I'm cool. No, I'm kidding. The moral
cool.
of my story actually is that, you know, if you can, the more you talk about it, the more you let other people know that,
it's
you know, right. yeah, the more you normalize it as far as talking about it. Not normalize the actual
yeah
shit
the
itself,
event.
But yeah, don't normalize the event. That's not cool. I think they try to do that in weird countries. But,
oh, yeah.
You know,
Man Love Thursdays and
oh,
shit.
Oh, dude, fuck. So you were Army, and we'll dip into that now, man. So
yeah.
So, as soon as you go to Man Love Thursdays, it's an Army thing, guys. No, I'm just kidding, man. Were you like Iraq, Afghanistan?
No,
I never okay.
deployed. Out of basic.
Interview's over. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally
yeah,
kidding,
fuck
man.
Me. No, I always tell, like, that's the first thing I tell people. You know,
yeah.
everyone's always like, did you deploy? And they want you to tell them that you deployed. They're like,
yeah.
did you deploy?
Did you kill anybody?
Yeah,
I mean, did you kill?
Or I'd be like, no, I only went to South Korea. They'd be like, did you kill anybody?
Cool,
I'm
man.
Like, no, man, I didn't kill anybody in South Korea.
So what years were you in?
2013 to 2017.
Okay,
so,
cool.
Yeah, after basic, I went to South Korea, just did my little year over there.
So we'll back up first then. Like, what was your regular job?
I was a 92 Fox, which is a petroleum supply specialist.
Okay,
basically
so
a fueler.
Bolt fueler.
Yep.
Then, yep. Okay.
Yep, fueler. I was.
Depends what it is. You fuel trucks, you operate heavy equipment, and then you fuel trucks, drive
yep.
semis and stuff.
Yep, and then in Fort Bliss, I was fueling up only helicopters. So I was in 501st
oh,
Aviation
okay,
Brigade.
Cool, man.
Yep, so I was out there fueling up the Apaches and the Chinooks and shit. So.
Nice. And then, so you did, where did you go to? You're from Fremont? No, Bellevue?
Yeah. No, I'm from Fremont.
Fremont. Okay.
I'm from Fremont, yeah. I went to Basic in Fort Jackson, then AIT, Fort Lee.
All right.
And then, yep, so just South Korea, and then Bliss, and then as soon as I was in Bliss, I was like, oh, I got to get the fuck out.
Yeah.
I can't do this shit no more. I'm out of here.
when you're not really doing much or anything. And see, when I came in, it was before 9/11, you know, 96 to 2016. And it's like, if you're not doing anything, you feel like you're worthless sometimes. Yeah. And a lot of people don't understand that. And I wish more of the Cold War vets got this, and I hope you understand it. Like, you would have been there if you would have been sent there. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, so it's not something to, like, feel bad about if you didn't go. But a lot of times, you know, some people are like, oh, I didn't do nothing, though.
Yeah.
Like, but, yeah, but you still trained. You would have been there if you did.
Right.
So you were in – what part of South Korea were you at?
I was in Camp Humphreys, which is, like, Pyeongtaek.
Okay.
It's fucking awesome, man. The thing about – I'm sure you know – I was in there, I was like, man, this sucks, man.
Is that by Walker?
No, Camp Walker is like 2 hours.
Oh, okay,
2 hours
from
there.
That's Busan.
Yep. Yeah. I was in Area 3. So okay. Walker was like by North Korea, so Area 1. But the whole time I was there, I'm like, damn, I got to get out of here.
Right. Cuz
everybody there is like, I'm about to leave. And so you kind of like, you don't realize like how fucking awesome, you know, being in the army, like even Fort Bliss was, it's ass. I was working 14-hour days like every fucking day and shit. But it's like, as soon as you get out, you're like, you just remember the good times.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I'm
exactly.
Like, damn, I can't wait. I want to go back to Korea so bad. Fort Bliss, not so much, but I want to go back to Korea, you know, still stay in touch with, you know, two of my best friends are from the army. So great times, man.
Yeah, you see that. Well, the thing is, though, no matter what, it might, a lot of times it's just what's going on in your life.
Yeah.
Or it's just like, you know, you got a shitty boss. The cool thing about
right.
the military is it's like one of the only places where you know your boss within 2 years is going to leave. Either
yeah.
or you are.
Yeah.
You know, usually ballpark 2 years, maybe three. You got that going on, number one. Number two is that, like, yeah, the good times, the worst times end up being the most fun later.
Right.
And
somehow.
So this is what I thought was cool, and I figured that out early, was like, because I remember my first, because my running joke's always been like battalions, like this girl that, you know, she's great at sex, but she's horrible in the relationship. So it's just like, you know, you're like, man, you get away, you're like, man, I got to get back. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I got to get back for some good.
For real.
And then you get back, and you're like, man, what a bitch. What did I do coming back to this relationship? And then you're there, and you're like, man, I got to get out of this. And then after a while, you're driving in your car, and you're like, yeah, I should go back to a battalion.
Yeah, yeah.
I really miss battalion life.
Exactly.
And it's like, but the thing is, I realized that young and early, thank God, because I was just like, every time it was sucking, it made me happy. I would laugh, and I'd just be like, you know, this is going to be a great story later.
You know? Right. Like, you do start to get that.
And you start noticing, it's like, man, this doesn't suck enough, guys.
Yeah.
You know?
Dude,
and
that's so fucking true.
You know, yeah. If you just have a 9-to-5 job that went smooth, what are you going to talk about? You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, like, when you get home from that deployment, and all you did was just, I don't know, you're in a wood shop, and you cut wood, and you went to bed at 9 p.m. every night, and, you know, granted, yeah, it's good for your soul and constitution or whatever, but
fuck that shit.
When you wake up the next day, man, and then many years later, you're going to sit down and like, hey, remember that one time you cut those 2x4s by 4 foot and then you like missed it by half an inch and then we had to go back and we had to go cut them again. Remember? And then it's like, that's your deployment. Okay.
Yeah.
Those shitty times, man.
Dude.
It's so cool.
One of the funniest shitty times, like, I mean, I know you've been to the field for long fucking.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you've been,
I used to be
an
instructor,
deployed.
So like,
yeah.
I was, well, I've deployed to, you know, Iraq, and I've also been an instructor and spent like months, you know,
right,
months and months and months on deployment, and then like weeks and weeks and weeks on, you know, field training.
Exactly.
FEX for the old people, FTX for the younger people.
Yeah, FTX for me. Yep. Yeah. Fucking, so many shitty ass times where you're like, God damn, they ain't treating us right. We're out here working 20 hours a day getting one MRE. We're all sharing out of the fucking 5-gallon water drug.
Dude, I had to shit at a 45-degree angle because they put the porta potty on a hill. Like that stuff like that. And you're like, you're holding the door open or, you know, closed while you're trying to poop.
Yeah,
yeah, just like these weird random things, man.
Right. I fucking love those stories, though, man. They're the best ones to talk about. I remember this, we were in this 3-week training where like literally everybody's just working 20-hour days, bullshit. And we had this new dude that he was there for like 5 months, so not that new.
Right.
But like they just like weren't tracking him. They just weren't keeping track of him, and he was just like walking around the whole FTX with full body armor, just like walking around getting drinking water and shit while we're all busting our ass, and we're just like, but like he's our boy and shit. He was cool, so we're just like, hey, like he'll come over like to the group and we're like, hey, you're about to get fucked up. They're about to bring you in here, and they're gonna have you working, bro. Get the fuck out of here. So he's just walking around the whole time, cool, not doing shit.
If nobody's being like, hey, Mitchell is over there doing nothing,
right?
My thing was like I knew when it was time to actually do work,
because
I lucked out, man. I went straight to a battalion, then I went to an instructor place because I had a shoulder surgery.
Yeah.
So I was teaching comms. Teaching comms, I think, helped me out so much because I was in a lot of meetings and stuff like that with like the upper echelon of the entire training group.
Yeah.
And you know, and little old me, nobody wants to go to these meetings, so of course they send the youngest dude.
Yeah.
An E4.
Like O'Brien. So,
yeah, pretty much ASW3.
Sham shield, huh?
So you go to that, and then so you would see all that bullshit, and then later on you're like, oh, that's what we're doing. Okay, yeah. I get it. This is dumb. But it's fun, you know?
Right. Wouldn't trade that shit for the world, man.
Nah, man. So, like, how long were you in Korea then?
Just 1 year. Korea's a 1 year tour unless you bring your family or something, then it goes to two. Which I look back and I'm like, damn, man, I should have stayed in Korea. I should have did my little time in Korea, but... No, just 1 year. 1 year there, and I did like my rest of the time, which was like 2.5 years at Bliss. So,
hell yeah,
good fucking times, man. My last little training in Bliss. Speaking of you saying like, oh, this doesn't suck enough. Like it was, I was supposed to get out. So I'm supposed to be A-capping, and of course they gotta fuck you around while you're supposed to be getting out. They gotta send you to the trainings and shit,
totally,
just to piss you off, stretch you out.
The part of it too, which really sucks, and I understand it, is on paper. This is where like a lot of people don't realize this is on paper. You have to say we had X amount of people trained. So what they'll do is, even though you're rolling out, they still, even though it's meaningless to them or you, they still need your number on this list saying we. And it's an ops thing. I get it, but what if you change your mind on the last day? Don't give me that bullshit. You want to make sure you update your tracker. I've been in those meetings.
Exactly.
You know,
bro.
But yeah. So basically what you're saying is that they're like getting ready to get out and they send you on.
Yeah. They sent us on like this week long, like out in Alamogordo, just sandy as shit. But all I was doing was shooting 50 cals.
Right.
And so, you know, the overall, everybody's kind of complaining. I mean, it sucks. You know what I'm saying? You're out there. It's hot. You know, You've got all your gear.
You're itchy. Sands in your
shit. But like all I'm doing is shooting fucking 50 cals. And I just remember thinking like, I'm about to be out. And my mindset had changed. Like I was just thinking how like I was going to be out in, you know, a month or two.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this shit is actually fun as fuck.
Yeah.
I'm shooting weapons. But all the other times that I went to the range, I had been so miserable because I'm, you know, you go to weapons draw at 0330 and you don't get the weapons till 0630. So you're already fucking pissed off before you drive. And then you drive an hour in the back of the cold ass LMTV bumping around and shit. And
parts
then you get there.
Your gear's not covering parts of your body. And you're just like, the wind's coming in the wrong way.
Right. And you get there and then, all right, now you got to go through the whole shooting. And then you're down in the sand and shit and there's rocks in your and it sucks the whole time, but you don't really realize how sweet that shit is until you get out. And I remember looking back, I'm like, all right, I probably shot like 2,000 rounds of 500, you know, 50 cal ammo. And I'm like, oh, this shit is, I'm up here fucking do, 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 do. I'm like, I'm never going to do this shit again.
Exactly.
Like, this shit is gold here.
I worked 6 years for the American Hockey League. And the whole time I was there, every single day I came to the rink, every fucking day, I was like, man, I'll never have this experience later. So I'm going to enjoy every moment. And a lot of it was because of times of like riding in helicopters. We're like, oh, this is going to suck.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, this is cool.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, fuck, got oil all over me. Oh, that was cool.
Yeah.
But, man, a lot of those good times. Puerto Rico, we'd have Viegas Island. And I remember thinking, oh, this is going to suck so bad. And then in hindsight, it was so much fun because, like, we had this range for Ricky Martin and Menudo and everybody else shut it down. But, like, the freaking Ricky Martin, for those that don't know, Ricky Martin was in charge of the protests. That's why I say that. Disclaimer. All right. So Yeah, so that got crazy. But yeah, we're shooting like Mark 19s. You know, my first Khrushchev weapon was a Mark 19. For those that don't know what a Mark 19 is, it's a 40 millimeter grenade launcher machine gun that's big. And it's like, thump, 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 thump. And that hang time is like a week. It goes, thump.
Fucking watching it. You got the
2 minutes later,
bitch.
Thump, boom. Oh yeah, that was so fun. We did a night fire too. That was
The night fires with that with the fucking LMGs, bro. Those used to those used to suck for me.
Yeah.
But then I like just because of just the you got all the equipment. You know it's hour 16.
Yeah.
And it's like embrace the suck. That's what I love about the military. Dude. They teach you little things like that.
So
like
good.
Just shut up and embrace the suck.
And I read like a lot of these things. I mean I've been out 6 years, so like all the suck shit has subsided. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I still remember certain people, and I'm like, I would take a bullet for them, but I never want to talk to them again.
Yeah.
You know, but those kind of people. But, I think the biggest lesson, too, to take away is that when you're at that point in your career, because a lot of times, especially when you hit ballpark, either like the 3 years before the end of whatever, your first enlistment, or the end of your career, like that 2-3 years towards the end, it starts to suck because the anticipation of how much you've gone and how much you got to do, that hits hard. And then also towards the end, you're just kind of over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it gets better again. It's just you got to get over that hump. And it's unfortunate because I'll see people get out like at their halfway mark and it's like without a plan. You know, if you got a plan, you're going to do something and like you got that degree and you know, good for you, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not trying, you know, say anything bad about getting out. Get out. Like you did it right. If you're gonna do one tour, get out. You have that behind you, and then move on. But if you're like a few years from retirement, suck
it
up
if you can.
Grind it out. You got this,
if
man.
If they ain't kicking your ass out, stay.
Doing something right.
Yeah.
Especially nowadays, man. So when you got out, you said what years again?
2017 I got. 2013, 2017.
13 to 17. Okay, so you did the four, and then, like, did you, like, file for benefits here, or did you file for benefits at all?
Man, when I got out, going back to what you said, having a plan, I did not have a plan.
Right.
I did not have a plan. I just knew I wanted to get out. I was 22 years old.
Okay, so you're still young. I mean, that's like not bad, though. You know?
Yeah, I got out. I did not have a plan.
Even most 22-year-olds that never did the military don't have a fucking
right.
plan. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, and dude, it was a rough year because I still had 2 kids and a wife at the time.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm going through it. Just didn't have a plan, but still needed a fucking plan.
Yeah.
And so
definitely,
I kind of ate shit for the first year of getting out of the Army, man. I, you know, get these jobs that were, you know, factory jobs, you know, decent little jobs, but
yeah.
But not the military, and just, I mean, I'm sure you know a little bit about, like, you know, you go from being in the Army to everybody like you coming home and you're like, Josh is home. Yes. Like, you know, hey man, Josh, you're doing so good, man. Thank you for everything you're doing. And then you get out and then it's like 2 months, like nobody gives a fuck about you anymore. And it's like, what are you doing? Where are you working at? Like, you was in the Army. Nobody gives a fuck about that no more.
What have you done for me lately?
What have you done? Like, what are you doing now? So I just kind of, I was going through that, like, working at these jobs and then, like, just like, all right, this job fucking sucks. Everybody here is a fucking turd. Like, I can't do this shit. Like, so then I would go, bro, I mean, I think 2 to 3 times I would go talk to the fucking recruiters, like, trying to get back in again and shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like, damn, bro, like this shit ain't real.
And, like, all the downsizing was happening, too, around that time. 2017?
Yep. And I'm just like...
They were thinning everything out.
And I, at that, you know, so there was times, you know, thank God they didn't let my ass back in, but there was times I was trying to get back in and just kind of going through it, just going through these shitty jobs, and then luckily kind of... found that and just kind of found something that was purposeful. You know what I mean?
No, that's really cool, man. Like, speaking of like factories and stuff, I was here in Fremont, the reason why I end up like enjoying the suck, like I was going half day Ross, half day Vanguard.
Yeah.
And so for people that don't know, Vanguard's the vocational school here is for welding. I got in job placement. And when I got job placement, since I was 18 years old at the time, I could get shafted on any hours.
Yeah.
So my hours from noon to 1 in the morning. Oof. So I would do my morning academic classes and I would do that. And all I did was I just welded a mobile home anchor. So I just, you know, basically the same motions, like same six motions over and over again. I would listen to like Clutch, Helmet, and like all these other bands and just knock this stuff out.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I'm like, man. And so whenever I was in the sock or some bad place, I was like,
could be.
People are bitching about like hanging out, you know, shooting machine guns and stuff. And like the first time you go, it's fun at first, and then it sucks because you're waiting for your relay, and then you're like, this sucks because you're just sitting in the back. And then you think about it, like, I'm getting paid to smoke. I'm getting paid to smoke cigarettes, talk shit, and throw a fucking rock inside of a brick.
Yeah.
See if we can get what we can hit the closest.
Yep.
And then after that, I have to sit on a bus.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Right. So I went straight in.
Yeah.
So I didn't really get that, like, because I remember hearing motherfuckers like, bro, y'all are bitching. You know, I used to work da-da-da and have a fucking, you know, have to eat your lunch in 15 minutes. We got an hour and a half to eat our lunch. You know what I mean? I don't know how long you got to eat lunch.
Oh, no, it was quick.
Ours was like an hour and a half when I was in the Army.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, I mean, it was, you know, I didn't really have that to look back on, but I mean, getting out, I remember just thinking, like, how you had a little easy little job. I remember getting a factory job and being like, yeah, this is what I want. I want to just do something easy all day. And then like getting like a couple months into that and being like, what the fuck was I thinking? Like, this is, I need to get after it, motherfucker. Like,
there's some pretty good factory jobs around here too, man. My cousin color matches cans, and he's like, dude, he's just always talking about like, yeah, man, this is the cans we're making. I'm like, this is cool. Because he's like, dude, this is the one we got to color match Wonder Woman and stuff. And I'm like, dude, that's cool.
Right.
You know, that's a good factory job.
Yeah.
When you're doing this,
one.
And then at 1 a.m., it's 987. You're like, fuck, I didn't crack 1,000 tonight.
Yeah.
Damn
it. And then you're talking to your person, and they come by, and they're like, hey, be quiet. No talking. Like, bro, the fuck out of here.
So did you file for benefits and stuff like that? I guess, did I ask?
Yeah, I'm like, I get like 10%.
Okay, well, at least you did, you know, that's fine.
I don't have hearing, but like there's a big hearing lawsuit and shit, so hopefully I'm about to get that shit. Because I remember like fucking the Chinook would land. It's like, you know, we're on like 24-hour duty and shit, and just the first three motherfuckers to hear the Chinook got to go out there. I'm going out there, no earphones and shit. Fucking feeling up birds while they're running, so my ears are definitely fucked.
Yeah, and that's what, like, a lot of people, like, being in the construction field, that's like, mine was like completely jacked.
Yeah,
you know. So, but no, that's good. At least you did file. Did you use a veteran service officer, or did you like do it on your own?
VSO.
All right, good. Yeah, because that's where a lot of people get shafted. I would be like, if you didn't use a VSO, I'd go reapply.
Yeah.
But if you did through a VSO, if shit starts hurting. You know, even if you have 0%, a 0% means that it can be changed later.
Yeah.
So, like, if you have anything that says 0%, then, you know, that means, okay, they did fuck you up, like your knees or your back or anything like that.
Dude, so. The only thing I have problems going in there is, like, I'm just now, like, I've been out 6 years, too.
Right.
I'm just now, like, my back's just now starting to hurt. Because, I mean, I was 22, 24.
Oh, yeah,
I was still young and spry. So, I was like, why would I, I didn't feel right, like, going and making up stories.
Right.
But now
totally.
My shit's hurting, and I'm like, hey, actually, my fucking back does hurt when I wake up. So now, like, I'm going in there, and now I feel, like, I don't feel like I'm lying. I used to feel like I was lying when I would, like, go in there.
Well, that's a good thing. Like, almost everything I had, I could back it up with the paperwork, you know what I'm saying?
True.
And, you know, it's just like, some people, dude, I'm not going to go down that route, but some people are like, come on, really?
Right.
But, whatever.
Yeah. I'm
like your little dude that's running around the camp. I'm like, hey, they're coming this way. You might want to go that way.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to those people, but.
They used to make fun of motherfuckers for going for sick call. Like, you go to sick call, they're like, this pussy's going to sick call again.
And that's what I try telling a lot of these vets and people listening right now. I hope you guys, I love you guys. And this is one of the messages I try to get out to is a lot. We have that athletic mentality where it's just like, you know, coach, I got to stay in the game. I got to stay in the game. And like, you pull it off to the sidelines, like, damn, you know, and then people are like, oh, what are you,
look
a little
at this
bitch?
Pussy.
What? Yeah. It's like, look fuck at him. That. He's got a sprained toenail. Now he doesn't want to go out. And it's
exactly.
Like, whatever, you know, but
fuck that. Get your money.
You know, it's like, no, I'm a hockey player, bro. I got to get stitches and I got to get right back out.
Yeah.
I know I just got cut in the face with a blade.
Fuck it, right?
Still got to score the winning goal.
Yeah.
But that's the mentality you kind of got to get away from, because when you get out, even when you're in, you still got to hit your sit call and, you know, make sure you have stuff annotated. But when you get out, you have to have all that stuff. And then also you get reevaluated by civilians.
Exactly.
And for those that don't know, is like, yeah, you got to like, you have to sit down with a doctor and they go over everything that you said that you have wrong.
Right.
And then they do an exam and it shows you like, hey, this is exactly how far this is. This is how far that is. Cause like my arm, dude, like I can move it. Depends, you know, it's like one day if I'm stretched enough, I can like move my arm high enough. And if I'm not, then I'm fucked. And right. It's just like, you know,
and you don't want to fucking go through your whole time, you know, taking all that shit, getting fucked up. But just being a tough guy about it, and then you get out, you go to try to get you know, claims for it, and they're like, well, you never went to sick call for it. We see here you went one time for a fucking shoulder, like, you know, you only went once, you know, it's like,
track that shit down,
don't let nobody fuck you off from that.
Yeah, and even if you only went once, or even if you never did, still on your way out, because there's some stuff I didn't discuss, I didn't talk about, only because I wanted to do another deployment. I didn't want, you know, and mental health was like that too. It's like, you know, I had a lot of shit going on that I didn't want to talk about because I didn't want to get thrown out or sidelined on, you know, future things.
Because,
and then also like your back, a lot of shit hit me after I was out. Because when you're in with everybody that's going through this on a day-to-day basis, the two people I'm closest with is like Jimmy Redinger and Dougie Newman are two guys I served with. And from A school, from, you know, tech school, A school to the end. And
hell yeah.
And it's like, I still to this day, if something's really bugging me or them, we'll talk about it. And it's just like, and we can talk about it just like, you know, you would talk about we are right now.
Yeah.
You know, and and that's where everybody needs to be able to know that, get that stuff out there, especially if you can get the VSOs. And you know, I'm also very, very, very animated about people going to the VSO. Did you notice?
Yeah, right. Now that, man, I remember, like, we were, right before I was getting out, we were getting deployed, not deployed, we were going to Germany.
Okay,
you know,
yeah,
you know,
I
them
got you.
You know them. So we were going to Germany, and, like, I mean, I can only imagine what it would be like if we were going to Afghanistan, because it's like, if somebody, you know that this one person or this person, like, oh, they're not trying to go to the deployment. They don't want to go. Right. And they're like, everyone's talking shit about that person. You know, because it's like, you know, we're all going. Are you with us or not, kind of type of thing. And it's like, you know, if you do have mental health, it's probably tough on a motherfucker going into deployment, because, you know, if I, you know, I do have mental health, you know, problems going into the deployment. So do I go, or do I have all my homies and shit talk shit at me about me because I got out of this deployment? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the pressure.
A lot of it too is like, and even though, you know, your friends know that, like, this dude, he's not trying to get out of it internally. Yeah. You still feel that way.
You still
feel like, you know, you're not a bitch.
E6,
you're getting help.
Your
you
E6 help, might look it. Down on you or some shit.
Yeah, I will look down
around.
At you.
Pussy.
You guys, you pass this shit. So if you could tell anybody that's serving now, like, what kind of advice would you give them?
Anybody that's serving now? It's kind of generic, but have a plan. Kind of take yourself out of your shoes, because while you're going, when you're in the middle of, you know, waking up for PT, you know, you got PT tomorrow, and you don't know if you're going to the field next week, and, you know, you just had your kid, but, you know, you got to go possibly to Germany in 6 months. Like, all that shit is stressful. You know, military life's stressful.
Yeah, man.
It's stressful as fuck. Just even if you don't know, you know, because you don't know what your schedule's like. You pretty much, I mean, there's some jobs where they know what they're about to do, but I mean, for the most part, you don't know if you're deploying. You don't know if you're going to the field. So try to take yourself out of that and kind of.
Yeah, man. On the plus note, and I'm sorry I'm stepping on your
good.
Advice, but it's just like, on the plus note, yeah, you don't know what's coming up. But the good thing is, while you're still going through that, is, you know, on the 1st and 15th, you're getting paid.
Hell yeah.
You know
what
I'm saying? And you know that your family's going to have a roof over their head.
Right.
Know?
So
and there are support groups that are going to help them when you do deploy. You know?
For sure. For sure. So try to take yourself out of your shoes and just realize what position you're in. Like you said, I mean, you get paid on first and the 15th. I mean, you got people that's supporting you every which way. You know what I mean? You can go to, I mean, there's all types of things, from sexual assault, you know, and then mental health, all types of stuff. So take yourself out of your shoes and realize, you know, where you're at. Are you happy with the job that you're in? Because, I mean, a lot of times I feel like, people are always trying to get to that next. You're trying to get to that next duty station. You're trying to get, you know, I can't wait till I can ETS. And so just embrace it and really enjoy where you're at. Because once you're out, you're out. There's no going back. I mean, I know everybody hears, you know, everybody hears like, you know, hey, you know, once you get out, you know what I mean, you're going to miss it. You know, the worst times are the best times. But, like, just kind of try to take yourself out of your own shoes so you can realize, like, all right, damn, I really ain't. Like, right now I'm in Germany, or I'm in, you know, Fort Hood, Texas. Like, I'm not back home, but I could be. I could be tomorrow. I can make up some shit. I can get out of this shit tomorrow if I really had to. So just, you know what I mean, enjoy where you're at, because this shit's, it's awesome.
Fuck yeah, man.
It's really awesome.
Good thing you brought up about the mental health and about sexual assault and prevention and stuff like that. Yeah. Sexual assault and all that, you know, is that now it's a lot different than it used to be. You can actually talk about it. You know, you'd be like, hey, be vocal. And it's not like, remember how we're talking about like molestation when they happen to kids? You know, I'd be like, Uncle Joey wouldn't fiddle all about like the Who song, you know.
Right.
But now it's like people are like, oh, no. Okay, so some people do fuck around and do that bad stuff. So.
Right.
All right, that's man. Well, anything else you want to bring up? Where can people find the whole DAP stuff?
So right now, you can go on DAP on YouTube and look up DAP Inc. channel, DAP. We're going to have our podcast on there, Excuse Me Everybody podcast and other things. But all our catches where we catch, I think we got about 250 catches right now. They're going to be up on the Cut the Cameras channel. And then anything else you can find on IG, Instagram, or Facebook, Shua Mundy for Josh, my boy Josh, and then Jay Carnicum, just first name, last name. You know, any tips, anything new coming out. We're about to shoot a movie actually in L.A. with some homies, Good Lion. So they're about to do a little documentary on us. We got a little Vice documentary coming out. So we're really excited about that.
Yeah, when you guys hit LA, hit me up. I still live there. So,
dude, for real.
Yeah.
How's one more question? How's comedy going out there? Like,
I love it. It's funny because a lot of it too. It's as much as you decide you want to put yourself through.
Yeah.
And I love it. I don't see myself doing anything other than stand up comedy. You know.
Yeah.
And that's it. By the way, you can catch... No, I'm kidding.
Hell yeah.
This will be... I don't know when the audio is going out, so I'll be putting all these dates out that's well out after it.
For sure.
You know, but I love it, dude. I love the whole... the people. I mean, the business itself is business, you know? And I'm kind of in a weird spot. I mean, it's a weird long answer for a short question, but I'm kind of in a weird spot where I'm sick of a lot of the stuff I was doing, so I'm like rewriting almost everything I did.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times too is like, no matter, I think this is going to sound weird, but I always feel like I'm failing at everything I do. And then you got to step back, and it's like thing with military career or anything else. I always feel like I'm failing. And then I look back at how far I've come, and then I'm like, dude, I'm fucking killing it.
Yeah.
But today I feel like I'm failing, you know what I'm saying? And like,
no, I 100% feel that.
People be like, oh, that was a great set. And in the back of your head, you're like, no, it's not. You should have been here Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know, like I forgot a whole entire joke and a segue that people won't even know that you forgot. So as long as I beat myself up and feel shitty about it, that means I'm doing good and I haven't quit.
No, for sure, man. I feel the same way.
Yeah. It's soul crushing, but it's also it's that relationship we're talking about where it's just like, you don't want to not do that anymore.
Yeah.
Cause it's very fucking satisfying, as sad as it sounds.
Yeah,
I know it sounds like Stockholm syndrome and terrorist problem, but
for sure, man, we never feel like we're doing enough.
No. And then it's like, all I want to do really stand up comedy, help vets, you know, and then get messages out like yours and like, as many veteran entrepreneurs or people are doing cool shit, like, you know, like what you guys are doing, you know, it's just like, I want to get that out there. I'll help promote them and, you know, promote myself obviously at the same time. And,
for sure.
You
know. No, definitely.
So fuck yeah. Any Q&A Q&A for me?
I would definitely hit you up when we come out in LA, man. Because LA is fucking awesome, bro.
Yeah.
I love it out there.
It is, and then I'll probably help you navigate a lot of the bullshit.
For sure, bro.
I'll tell you, I'll tell you times to just move around. Town's great. It's just like you got no when and where to go at what time, because if you leave after like, you know, basically 4:11, you are fucked. You know what I mean? Like, but if you leave at 4:07, you're going to be okay. It's just right. Certain shit like that.
Yeah. So. Bet.
All right, brother. I guess we'll cut it. So,
yep.
Anything else? Final words? No?
Nope. One more final thing. If you've been sexually assaulted, if you've ever been through anything like that, tell somebody. If you've never told anybody, speak up. Tell your best friend. Tell Josh. I'm sure he'll have some good words of wisdom. Tell me. Just get it off your chest. It's the most important, I think, for just to start spreading that message on telling people just to get it off their chest and have a different mindset about being sexually abused, because you didn't do nothing wrong. Just kind of go from having that feeling like you lost or something bad happened to you, to take that to you went through something bad and you're winning now. You're on the other side of it. You didn't you didn't keep that cycle going and you didn't molest anybody. You're strong. You know what I mean? And you're not alone. So tell somebody, get that off your chest, and start the cycle of getting better. Start helping yourself and maybe even helping somebody else who's been through it.
Fuck yeah, man. For good sure. words.
For sure. Appreciate you having me on, Josh.
Hey, dude, thanks for coming
through.
Thank
you so much, man.
So for all those I followed, thanks for making me a better leader. For all those I've led, thanks for making me a better person. Keep your chin up. Never let the bastards get you down. Fuck the bozos. And never forget, never ever forget, Obi loves you. And we're out.
I love it, man.